All right, so what are we doing today?
So we got a couple.
You want to talk about your man Donald begging him to push the button?
Listen, we have enough to talk about today. You don't want to get me.
I just feel like whenever you tweet from like your personal account and it's talking about Trump, it's usually just you like what. That's like what the tweets sound like. Just trying to comprehend stupidity.
Man, we are getting a serious storm tomorrow.
Yes, y'all are.
Woo.
Yes, y'all are.
Snowicane definitely is a Young Jeezy mixtape.
Say, yo, that's totally like a B grade. Like when somebody just takes, it's not even like official, they just take records that they downloaded off Boxed In.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like it's half Jeezy, half Pusha T. And they do like one of those combo, like fake combo mixtapes called Snowicane.
Ah, that's funny.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of Clock Radio Speakers of 2018. Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Doc, we are low-key 8 years in the game.
The end of 2010.
Yeah, I got a Facebook, you know, the little memories thing or whatever.
Mm.
And it came up where I posted it, like the blog. Like, yo, it's really been 8 years, huh? Crazy. I lost my train of thought because I just went somewhere. My name is Armand Wake Up. I am the co-host of this here podcast. You can follow me on Twitter and social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We are also on Instagram and Facebook. To get all of our episodes, you can go to clockradiospeakers.com. That was powered by Tumblr. We are also on iTunes. Vote, rate, comment there as well. We're everywhere you get podcasts except for SoundCloud because they're trash. And what is Clock Radio Speakers without Doc_Beats? What's going on, good sir? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Things are good, man. Everybody, you can follow me on Twitter if you want, at Doc_Beats, S not a Z. But like Armand said, just follow the show. Did you take any time off around the holidays?
Yeah, I just kind of lay low because I celebrated Christmas on Thanksgiving with the kids. So since I got them knocked out, I just lay low on my girl. Like, just kind of kicked it, which was great. It snowed, so we got like a little bit of a white Christmas, and we went and saw Jumanji.
Not J. Cole, but the actual movie Jumanji.
The actual movie Jumanji with the Rock and Kevin
I need
Hart.
To clear that up for a long time, Clock Radio Speakers fans.
Yeah, shout out to Tony Timberlake. When he caught, I said that on Twitter and he caught it. That was hilarious. I was not thinking that. But yes, the movie Jumanji and not J. Cole. Movie was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah, I wasn't mad at it. It was what it was.
Okay.
I wasn't mad at it. It was funny. It was a nice little 2-hour break. It was good. But how about you? How's your holiday?
Cold.
Yes.
It has been very cold in the Northeast. Basically like Vermont weather up in the Northeast. We drove up to Vermont weekend before Christmas, got some family up there, drove up in an ice storm, which pretty much has set the scene for the last 2 weeks of my life, which has just been, how do I stay warm? Like it's
right.
Yeah. And then, tomorrow, we're getting so we're recording this, Wednesday night, getting a snowicane,
Snowicane,
which as Armand and I joked before the show, is not a Young Jeezy mixtape from 2008, I promise. But instead is basically like tropical, like storm force winds plus snow, which I'm super not excited about. But at least I'm off work. They're closing everything up around here. So yeah, that's going on. And then it's going to get even colder this weekend. Really, really not excited. But it's all good because I'm here and it's Clock Radio Speakers. So everything's good, man.
Word. Dope. Very dope. Very dope. Okay, so we did not have an episode last week, right?
That's right. Took a week off. Let Armand live.
I'm chilling. Don't put that on me. What do? Yeah. And then was your New Year was kind of low key too?
Oh man, I slept. So,
yo, we were talking about that at work. Like, are we? Is this where we are right now?
You know what it is? I value, like, I, the older I get, the more I value certain things. And it's like, it's really true. Like, I value, like, sleep is such a precious commodity.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Because, you know, a couple nights here, a couple nights there. Next thing you know, you're not sleeping well and you're dragging. You get sick. It's all downhill. Like, no, I value my time and I value my sleep. So,
sure.
You know, it was one
it's
of
crazy because I.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, for us, the night before that, we went down to New Jersey. To visit a college friend who just had a baby, wanted to see the baby. So, you know, slept on an air mattress in a basement, which is cool. Like, I'm glad they put us up. But also, I don't really sleep that well. And I was like,
sure.
You know what I want to do? I just want to sleep. So I slept. It was great.
It's crazy because I remember nights. I couldn't remember nights. So to go from that to where we are now is really, really interesting.
40 days and 40 nights?
Boom. Right. 40 days available now on all digital outlets, even if I lose coming soon.
Yeah. So 40 days was released December 8th.
Yeah.
Okay. Should people be expecting at least a little something coming a couple weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Yep. 100%. And throughout this year, lots of music this year. And I'm not saying as a rapper, I've literally got like 8 joints just sitting there like ready to go. So yeah, lots of music.
And there's just there's all of a sudden, just like in 2017, for 2018, first part of the year looks like it's already getting busy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what do we have? What do we have going on?
Your man Justin Timberlake.
Wow,
has decided. I mean, pretty smartly considering he's playing the Super Bowl.
Absolutely,
he's releasing an album beginning of February.
That kind of scares me. The commercial scared me.
You think he's going a little country?
Yeah, like Man of the Woods, it just screamed like Bon Iver to me.
Mm. And that's not your style at all.
It's not my thing at all.
Yeah. I mean, so the producers I've heard he's working with are Pharrell, who shows up in the commercial, Timbaland, okay, and Max Martin, who produced Can't Stop the Feeling.
What movie was that for?
Trolls.
Trolls. Okay. Yeah.
The song was bigger than the movie, you know, but.
Right. Absolutely. But that makes sense.
Sure. I mean, you know, Timbo's done Southern Fried before, you know. Maybe it's time to bring back the Bubba Sparks sound.
Yeah, Deliverance too. is that what we could possibly be expecting?
I mean, Cry Me a River,
right?
Was yeah. already pretty close.
Kinda to Lonely. Sorta. Yeah.
So you know, I don't know. I yeah. Plus, what was it? He had that one song off of 40/40 Part 2 that had the country guy on it, and he performed it at the.
Right.
Country Music Awards. So I'm guessing we're going to get a smorgasbord of Timberlake sounds.
Yeah.
Right. I think we'll get a little country fried. I think we'll get some upbeat, whether it's from Pharrell or Max Martin, like dance, you know, we're going to get some weird tempo stuff. Like I think we're going to get a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's fine. Like, we're not going to get Justified Part 2.
Curses.
But that's okay.
Man, should we do a JT retro for this album?
Well, we've covered pretty much all of his stuff.
We have.
Because we've done Timbo and Neptune's bass retrospective.
Oh, man.
But we could do a Definitive 15.
I like a Definitive 15 on JT.
Right. That's only really 4 albums worth, but that's okay.
That's a lot because JT got joints.
I mean, unless you're going to go digging in the NSYNC days.
I mean, if Gone's not on your Definitive 15, I don't know.
Nowhere near it. And I haven't even done it yet. Nowhere near it.
Fucking. What about the Girlfriend remix?
Overrated.
Oh my God.
See, we're already, okay, got to shut it down right now. We'll save that.
Oh boy.
Save that for before the album comes out.
I ran into some unreleased Roscoe P. Cold Chain records recently. I meant to send them to you.
That sounds like maybe some vintage Neptunesery.
Yo, there's a record with him, Pusha, and Pharrell that's crazy.
Mm.
It's like 2000. Yeah, it's probably like 2003.
Like Clones era?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think that's right around the time because he came out with Hot, and I think he went to jail shortly after.
I forgot about Hot.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be beatboxing Hot all day.
Yeah.
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 Randomly off that album, Marissa and I both like love rock and roll.
Listen, Listen, rock and roll might be, is it the most underrated Neptune song?
Mm. One thing that's become, you know how like, you know, when you have like, you either live with people, you have a relationship with somebody, you almost get like your own like little like couples memes or something, like things yeah. that the two of you just refer to.
Yeah.
So we definitely over the years took the so much coke got coke in jail, and now it's so much, and then just insert whatever it is, got whatever it is in jail, which is great that we use that like an inside joke for us is rock and roll.
It only your wife would do that.
First lady,
only you would marry somebody like that. Yes, clearly. Yeah, man. That's I said this on Twitter while we're talking about JT. Would we want to? Would Justin ever work with somebody who wasn't Pharrell or Timbaland, or would he produce an album that was not primarily produced by either one of those guys?
Yeah, I could. I mean, I could kind of see it because he, you know, he. You look at those credits, especially the stuff he does with Timbo. He's got an awful lot of co-production credits.
Yes,
he is. He's helping to write. He's helping to do stuff. You know, maybe not. Maybe you know, if he's not gonna do it now, but like, there's. You could totally see like a depending on, you know, where he is, where he's at in his career, like the stripped down Timberlake album.
Yes,
where he gets personal.
Okay. That's what I feel like this is. It's just in the it's it, he kind of jacked 40 days.
Mm.
Kind of did.
You better get it.
Yo, just him in the woods with like an axe, some wood and a flannel. I messed up. I shouldn't have had the all black on. Definitely should.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but just like Even If I Lose, you know, his album opens up with a certain sentence. No, I'm just kidding. I slipped in the beat, you know.
You bet not. That would be hilarious. Like, who could you see Justin working with, like, producer-wise? Would it just be, like, Bruno Mars people?
That's interesting, because Bruno, like, when Bruno brings him and his people, it's the whole package.
Yes.
So, like, I mean, he's worked with Fauntleroy before, but I could see Fauntleroy.
Yeah.
I could see Tyler.
We'll talk about Tyler a little later today.
Okay, we'll talk about Tyler a little later today. I could see Tyler.
Freaking genius.
He is. Because what I really just want is for Frank and Tyler to make an album. But for whatever reason, they're not doing that.
Yeah, somebody needs to like reel Frank in. I think Frank kind of, I think y'all, you guys, heard Channel Orange. Because first of all, the best song on Channel Orange is produced by Pharrell. I said it.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm, I mean, that's a dope record. Don't get me wrong.
That's an incredible record. And so Frank was like, oh, this smells pretty good. I'm gonna keep doing this. And then, you know, Blonde and whatever the other album was, and then whatever he does, and it's just
He put out a bunch of random songs this year.
He did. Was Bicycle cool? I think I liked Bicycle, didn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah, I listened to Bicycle on the way home tonight.
Right.
Yeah, after, you know, years of not putting anything out, all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm just going to put out random music.
Yeah.
But we could talk about that when we just talk about, we got some end of the year things we're recapping for most of this episode. Other stuff that's current going on right now. Oh, actually, did you say everything you want to say about Timberlake?
Yeah, we could honestly talk about him for another 15 to 20 minutes, but let's move on because we have a lot to talk about.
I mean, we got two things to talk about with Family Feud.
Okay.
Jay and Beyonce dropped the video.
Yes.
Excuse me, in 97, 98 parlance, the mini movie.
Yes.
Real
life Zuvie.
A real life Zuvie. What do you think?
It's interesting because I think that the rollout for 444 was really, really good. So for him to take a week and focus on one song and do that every week for however long he did that, that was great. I don't know why it took so long for Family Feud to get its own treatment. Maybe it was planning for the tour, whatever. I understand that. But you're living in a culture where you kind of got to get people and get them quickly. And I don't know if you say Family Feud video and then it's a movie and people are still going to watch the whole thing, especially how the movie plays out. You know, it's got, you know, Wallace is there. Wallace from The Wire is there, R.I.P. Wallace. And him, and then Thandie Newton's dressed like the girl from The Fifth Element. Then people start dying. And then it just gets weird. The actual video doesn't happen until about 5.5 minutes into the movie. I don't know if I have enough time going into that unless I'm told beforehand it's a mini movie. I didn't see any language that said this is a mini movie. So by the time I'm skipping, then it looks like Matrix Revelations or Revolutions or whatever it was. And Jada Pinkett is shooting people in like Bronco Stadium or whatever happened. And then Jay and Blue are in a church and he's rapping in a confessional. And then Beyonce, I don't know. I get what you're saying about the puff factor, because it was definitely, it looked very opulent and just like expensive for no reason. Mm. But one thing about puff videos was that they were what they were. The content was money. The content was wealth and just, I can't even think of the word, where you just spend money just because you have it. That was what we got from puff. The currency of the day now is just like fake deep. And so that was opulent and fake deep. I didn't need both. I'm good.
Also likely a very, you know, very expensive video, but you know, it's a title exclusive and there is a piece of Jay's business where it's like, he needs to make sure that people keep coming back to title for exclusives. So he almost gets, you know, he gets to, so he's going to do stuff like this from time to time.
Yeah.
It matters.
It does. I don't disagree with you.
Okay. I was going to say, because he made a whole song talking about how family matters and still can't resist plugging the fact that he owns champagne.
What does champagne have to do with family?
In Jay's world, everything.
So, okay. So he owns champagne and family matters to him. So what? That's fine.
Anyway. Maybe more interesting, you man, Louisiana.
Well, I think you were going to say Loopy Fast Go. I was like, wait, where are we going? No, he did rap on Marcy Me a couple weeks ago. It was pretty good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I could see that beat being, I could see him having a nice flow in that.
Yep.
So is this going to be dedication 6?
6.5, because 6, right, because 6 came out Christmas Day.
I was going to say, a new dedication project from Lil Wayne, and we got Drake and Wayne rapping over Family Feud.
Yeah.
Apparently they couldn't get the actual instrumental.
They did get the actual instrumental.
That's the instrumental?
Yeah.
It sounded kind of
anyway. He said shout out Guru for sending the instrumental.
Okay.
I would prefer that. I've got a good loop. But all you find on the internet are just like really bad producer remakes.
Oh, right.
And then if there's not a gong on there, it's not lit.
The gong seal of approval.
The gong seal of approval. That's for like OG, 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 not even Clock Radio Speakers.
There are three people listening to this who have some idea what we're talking about.
Yes. But yeah, that's the real beat.
So Drake and Wayne, you know, yep. In years past, that'd be something to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at, what's the name of that record? What's the first record where they were rapping for a really long time on? And I'm not talking about ignorant stuff.
Oh, I don't know.
That's I'm the wrong one to get along with, put on, get on the song with. Ransom.
Oh, right. I always forget about Ransom.
Yeah. Ransom was probably the record that made me say, oh, Drake. All right. Ransom and I'm Still Fly. I'm So Fly, whatever. Those are the two. I was like, okay, here we go. Well, you just sounded different on that from Comex. Right. But yeah, what'd you think of these rapidy raps, Doc?
I didn't really need Wayne on this.
Okay, let's talk. Do we just want to get Wayne out the way and then talk about Drake?
Sure.
Okay, so I initially heard Wayne after Drake does what he does. I hear Wayne. I don't know what Wayne is doing on these first 16 bars. I don't know what he's doing, but he needs to not ever do that again. This is like when, do you remember like in 99, 2000 when like Bounce was like the tempo?
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the JT Money, who that, who sort of tempo. And rappers didn't quite know how to rap on that, especially like New York rappers. So they didn't know to like slow the flow down, use less words. The only two people who did it well was probably Jay and Big, probably, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Cam on What Means the World to You, maybe. But even that was kind of, but No, that song is great. Don't get me wrong. Well, Me and the World, he was classic. But they didn't quite, New York rappers didn't quite know how to rap on those faster tempos. So they would just try to like fit as many words as possible into the beat. That's what Wayne did on these first 16 bars. And it's terrible. I cut it off. I don't have time for that. So I send a tweet and say, you know, do I need to keep letting this play? And enough people responded where they said, yeah, like, let it go. It gets better. And it gradually got better. His last maybe 12 bars where he just kind of goes, that was pretty good. I wasn't mad at that. But if he would have cut the first 16 bars, it would have made the rest of his verse much more digestible than what it was.
Okay.
And then coming off of what Drake did, Drake is giving you flawless flow and he's giving you something to talk about. I'll call it content for the sake of the discussion. I think sometimes we put content into like things that mean stuff, but sometimes content is just a subject and you're explaining yourself versus just random thoughts. These were clear, not drawn out, but just clearly placed thoughts by Drake, which of course created conversation, which he's really, really good at doing when he does these rappity raps. I heard somebody say that they missed rappity rap Drake, and he kind of got like some flack for it, but I think I understood what he meant. Do you understand that?
Does he mean like 2011 Drake?
I think because people's argument was, well, Drake was rappity rapping on More Life, and he was, but there was a period where Drake would every once in a while take either get a beat from Boy Wonder, you know, a 9 a.m. in Dallas, a 5 a.m. in Toronto, or earlier than that, where he would get on somebody else's instrumental and just rap. He hasn't done that in a long time. So I think that's what he meant. And I understand it because it was kind of weird, like, oh, shoot, Drake on somebody else's beat. That's not a reggae song. It's not Caribbean Jams. Bet. Because some Drake records leak. Have you heard of Drake records?
I was going to bring up after we talk about this. Apparently he's got a new song called God's Plan.
Yeah, he's got two records. One's called Pistols, which is kind of Caribbean Jams-ish. And then the other one is called God's Plan with one of those pill rappers named Trippy Red. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Sounds like Drake songs I've heard before.
Right.
I just let them go because they're leaks. But yeah, let's talk about this Drake verse.
It's dope.
It is dope.
You know, he's expounding on some of the themes that Jay talks about, not really on Family Feud as much, although a little bit, but like if you had to give 444 a theme, right? There's two themes, right? It's number one, he's really sorry, Beyonce. And number two, the world needs more black owned everything.
Yes.
Right. And so, you know, he had the line about like paying Wayne what Universal owes, like got a lot of attention. The line about him, thinking he needs some ownership of Apple Music, got some attention. You know, he's got a little nod to Meek here. He's kind of going all over the place, but it works.
The nod to Meek was really interesting because it seems like it felt like it was like when you get too deep into your diary. It looked like he wanted to say he was sorry, but then he was like, wait, hold on, I'm sorry, I'm Drake. Anybody else can get it. Like he wanted to like mend fences and then he was like, wait, never mind. It was really interesting and hilarious.
Right.
But yeah, verse was dope.
Yeah.
Verse was dope. I honestly, if Wayne would have cut out his first 16 bars and gave those to Wayne or gave those to Drake, I'd have been cool. I felt like I could have got a little more from Aubrey on there.
What do you think about I'm going to go ahead and say a pretty non-controversial statement, right? Like Wayne probably has not gotten paid what he should have been paid over his lifetime from Universal and cash money.
100%. 1000%. Yes. Right.
This notion, like, I know it's him, a little bit of boasting, whatever, but like the idea that, you know, he wants some ownership of Apple Music if they go forward, it's kind of interesting to me, right? Because like on the one hand, that's like a little bit of a flex, right?
Yeah, of course.
But I'm sure some people heard that and they were like, oh yeah, look what he's done for Apple Music. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, but people forget that like Apple Music cut him an $18 million check.
Right.
Right. And said, here's a platform and we're relying, you know, there's a swap going on here, right? In exchange for $18 million, a platform, et cetera, you know, the ability to release music whenever you want, which he didn't really have before, now seems kind of quaint, but 2.5 years ago when Apple Music launched, people weren't really using Spotify like that. Like he was kind of using SoundCloud for that, but it's like, hey, you know, that stuff you're shipping over to SoundCloud, why don't you get paid for it?
Right.
and you know, we're going to give $18 million. And in return, you're going to give us exclusive content.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Drake is seeing a lot more money off streams than other people, but like considering the reduced payouts that people get from streams, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
Right. It's not, I mean, look, he should obviously use whatever, whatever leverage he has and all that stuff. But like, I don't know. I thought it was just kind of interesting to read that. And it's like, yeah, a little bit of a flex. Like, you know, obviously he's going to want what he can get and everything else. But I also know that like people will like, you know, there will become this story about like, oh, well, you know, artists need this and everything else. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, but like people also should, you know, number one, they should be paid for what they do and they should be treated fairly. But beyond that, it's really like whatever you think you can get it. Like, and that kind of works. But like, it'd just be interesting to see like as streaming evolves and we're talking about streaming today and as artist relationship evolves, like what kind of leverage they can get, what kind of deals do and don't get cut. You know, do we get to a point where, you know, like how long can Tidal hold out? Can Tidal turn the corner, make money, and become, because as long as Tidal's out there, then it's a lot easier for artists to have that kind of leverage, right? If we get into a world where it's just Spotify or Apple Music, gets a little harder. Like, I'm just, be interesting to see where that goes and be interesting to see how fans perceive these exclusive relationships and what they think is fair or isn't fair, you know? Because right. I'm only talking about this just because like these two statements, the one about paying Wayne what Universal owes is back to back with his statement about, you know, getting some ownership of Apple Music. And it's like, those two things are very different worlds, mm-hmm. right? In a sense, it's the old world and the new world.
Right.
But aside from that, no, it's dope. I mean, Drake can rap, right? I don't know. Drake raps better on this than Jay did.
I think that's, it's weird to compare the two just because the content is so different.
Sure.
Like it's a song versus a freestyle. So it's kind of hard for me to say that.
Okay.
But I know how you feel about it. And all of our wonderful listeners know how you feel about 444.
Oh, we are talking about 444. I listened to 444 again for this show.
Oh, good for you.
Good for
I'm
me.
Happy for you.
I'm very happy to be here.
Ah, that's funny. Okay, what else are we talking about? What's up?
Your boy, Travis Scott.
Yeah.
And
it's like a Travis Scott ad-lib. Yeah.
And your other boy, Quavo.
Yeah, Young Quavius. Uh-huh.
They put out a little collaboration album called Huncho Jack.
Yeah, really, really interesting.
You went on record on the Twitter.
On the Twitters, yeah.
On the Twitters, saying that you enjoyed this.
I did. It's what happened was I was cleaning the kitchen and I opened up my Tidal. And I saw what was on there and I was like, well, let me skim through this real quick because I feel like we're going to talk about it on the show. And I think I let the intro play and it had the sample or whatever. And I said, interesting. So then the beat drops. I'm like, okay, this is dope. I think I went to go in the other room or something. I just put the iPad down. I'm in the other room. I'm, you know, around my house doing stuff. And then before you know it, I kind of come to and I'm like four or five songs in and I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, I haven't ran to my iPad and turned it off. Like, what the heck is this? And then as I just sort of listen to it while I'm doing the dishes, find myself doing a little jig, you know what I'm saying? A little bop.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, the album's over. And I was like, I kind of enjoyed myself.
It's very economical.
Yes.
Especially the first, like the last couple songs start to get, I mean, they're not even that long. They're like 4 minutes long or whatever. But like those, the first, like, I don't know, I feel like five, six, seven songs. I think I'm looking at it right now, the longest one in that first half of the album is like 3 minutes and 19 seconds. Like,
yeah,
they are flying.
Flying through the records, which is good.
Some dope beats on here.
Yeah.
The way Modern Slavery opens is just completely hilarious.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I mean, even modern day modern.
Well,
slavery.
Right. But then it's like, you know, but it's not the 1800s, so they pay me. But then the ad lib of cash, which I just.
Oh my God. We have failed. We have failed the generation under us.
We listened to a lot of ignorant stuff too.
We did. We 100% did.
But that is the least woke. That's the least woke state. Maybe not the least woke. That's the least woke thing I heard all week. How about that?
That's hilarious.
You know, so this is good because we can kind of use this to serve as a bridge to maybe a bigger conversation, but this whole concept of collabo albums,
mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it?
I saw somebody on social media make a point where it was like, yo, a lot of these collab albums are kind of not good.
Yeah.
I don't mind them.
Okay.
Because I'm not putting a lot of stock into them. I think Watch the Throne was so opulent and so big, but I feel like Drake and Future was the blueprint.
Yeah. Oh, getting yeah, it yeah, out. Yeah. That was definitely the blueprint for this. For this that whole run of stuff.
Yep. Yep. So people heard it, or, you know, you rev it up for a couple weeks, because I think the problem with this album was that they announced this like a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been teasing this, I think, since Rodeo or days before Rodeo. It's been a while, I want to say. But yeah, rev it up for a couple weeks, 8 songs, 9 songs, 10 songs at the absolute most, get in, get out. Do right. a tour, do some merch, whatever, to make some money real quick, get in, get out. And so I'm not mad at it, because the way that music is nowadays, you kind of have to consistently keep the audience's attention.
Mm.
And so little moments like these are going to, you know, be a thing. Like, oh, shoot, like, it's cool. So I wasn't mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at the concept yet. I'm not bored with it. It's not overdone. Maybe it also might help that I'm not listening to every single one like that.
Right.
But I hate it. I'm down. It works.
Yeah. We've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, like when Netflix is kind of the new model and you got to keep feeding the beast, right? Like you got to keep putting stuff out there. Something like this just makes a lot of sense. Like what I think is interesting is like, the person who responded to this on Twitter, I actually know this guy, so I should remember his name, but it's failing me right now. I apologize. The point he was making was like, especially this, there's been a run of like Metro collab albums this year.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those, you know, some of the beats are, you know, they're in the stash, right? They're not like his A++++ beats.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Just like I would probably say, like, you know, like both Travis and Quavo have albums coming this year. So like, do we really think that this is like the best stuff that they had sitting around?
Right.
But that's kind of okay now. Like, because I don't want to say that. So it's so much, you know, first of all, it's very clear there are just more producers than ever before making beats, right? I mean, the weird part about, like, you know, you can, there are plenty of downsides to this sort of monolithic sound that we are coming into, right? But this, the, you know, even though, yeah, it's funny. I think someone also said on Twitter, like, you know, they're starting to mess around with, oh, now it's a couple sample chops over trap beats. Meanwhile, yeah. I'm sitting over here going, yes, sir.
What have I been trying to tell you?
You know, when the trap sound is so predominant, and when there are so many producers, especially so many producers in this Atlanta, like, nexus of folks making music,
right?
That, like, you know, it's a lot easier to generate a lot of music than it used to be.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of these songs are pretty short, right? It's like a verse, a hook, a verse, and a go.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty efficient in and out. I mean, it's an interesting strategy, right? Like you said, it would make a lot of sense, actually, if the two of them, you know, independent of each other, of course, but like, let's assume that they both have albums in the first half of the year, right? Just go on tour together. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, someone does, you know, you get an opener and then, you know, you do the you do the Drake Wayne thing, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, Travis comes out, does some songs, Quavo comes out, does some songs, then they do some songs together and they switch it. Like, you could do something like that. But the thing is, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming Migos is just going to go on tour in general this year.
Oh, 100%.
Because their album's coming out. They'd be stupid not to go on tour.
Right.
But yeah, I think I sort of, I'm treating this like, how do I put this? Like, it used to be that an album, like a mixtape was like a snack, right? An album was like a full course meal.
Yeah.
Right. And like what we're getting now is a wider range of options.
Yeah.
You know, this is clearly more than a mixtape, but it's also not like the I just spent the last 12 months, you know, working super incredibly hard. And this is like my pride and joy. Like I just cooked for you for 5 hours in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
We have a wider range of stuff. Streaming facilitates that. because there's so many options now. And so, yeah, it's fine. There's like four or five, maybe six songs off here that I enjoyed. And I don't know, for me, it was kind of a surprise that it came out at this time. Like, you know, a surprise album like this, I'm like, okay, cool. My expectations were lowered. And maybe that's a whole other conversation. Like, are we just lowering expectations as fans? I don't know. But I'm not mad at it at all.
Right. Yeah, I think the story both ways is kind of what a lot of artists traditionally use. So either it's the, yo, we did this whole album in one night, or it's, I've been slaving over this thing for a year. Having something in the middle was like, you know what? We got together and we decided, you know what? We make pretty good music together. Let's do a whole project. All right, cool. We were working, we were touring, we were doing all this other stuff. But in the meantime, we were sort of sending songs, whatever, like how an album normally works nowadays. It's not really a compelling story. You can't really sell that. So although it's reality, like, people aren't really trying to buy that, which sucks. I think people just kind of have to change their expectations of how music is going to be presented to them for the foreseeable future. It's just different. You ask for different. Our culture is different. Our environment is different. The way that we access music is completely different. I mean, I was actually shocked that Eminem's album leaked.
Mm.
Like, leaks aren't even a thing anymore, like, at all. And I'm sure music still does leak, but it's nowhere near the thing that it was 2 years ago. You know, it's totally different now. So if your whole thing is just creating content to make sure that, you know, though streaming platforms are handing out pennies per stream, just make sure that people stay on your profile for hours and just give them stuff to stream. Give them videos to stream, as we talked about Family Feud. Give them songs to stream. Just consistently give them albums and then put out merch. And whatever facade or whatever reality you want to create using your social media, that's just what we're buying right now. It is what it is.
So, yeah, I mean, a couple different places we can take this, right? Because when we talk about 2017, like, you know, we're talking about streaming, right? It is here. It is, at least for hip hop, the predominant way that hip hop fans are getting music now. And artists have completely adapted, and there's a whole new generation that is completely adapting, and it's having, you know, impacts in really interesting places, right? I mean, so I think sometime this year, I think they'll be tweaking a little bit the formula for Billboard to not quite so heavily reward free streams. And I think also streams where it's not like the primary purpose. I mean, I think I heard this, that the primary purpose is not your song. So like, if your song is playing in the background of a meme, like, right now you get credit for that.
Yeah.
You know, so they're trying to tweak, but what they're going to end up doing, it's going to be like taxes and politics. Like, they're going to write rules, and then people are going to come up with business plans to take advantage of those rules. Right. And so right now, streaming rewards, look, get in there, make music, make the best music you can, but then get it out. Right.
Right.
Get it out, get paid for what you did. Even if it's not a lot, you're still getting paid. It's still better than nothing. And figure out how to monetize it and keep moving, right? Which is hard. You know, we talked about on the show, it's hard for us growing up, you know, on a whole different style of music, because, like, you know, each song is not treated as precious.
Right.
Right. Like, I'd be stunned if, like, modern slavery got, like, you know, was really, like, sweated over. Right. And I'm not saying it's not, like, it's not good to listen to, but it's like, I'm sure the producer, like, did his thing, sweated over the beat maybe a little bit, but, like, once they're recorded, you know, I don't think, you know, they're like, yeah, we got it. It's in the can. Let's go. Yeah,
let's go. Let's do it. Let's go to the next one. Yep. Yep. They might do some here and there, like, yo, let me go back to that or whatever, whatever. But yeah, they're not obsessing over it like maybe a Justin Timberlake album produced by Pharrell and Timbaland.
Right.
Where they sort of come from an older school of, let's do these 10 records or whatever and just make them as perfect as we possibly can.
The other thing I want to talk about, coming, you know, branching off of the Huncho Jack album, is, man, 2017, the year Migos, right?
Yeah, they had a great year.
They had a great year, and it wasn't even really that much about their album.
Yeah. Culture came out when?
Top of the year, right?
Top, yeah, like March or something like that. Let's look that up.
Yeah. Maybe even earlier, am I crazy? January 27th.
Early. Wow.
Right.
So interesting. Huh. I might be stealing their year. But I digress.
Top of the year, you know, I mean, the album is all about, album was kind of a slow seller, to be all honest. Debuted at number one, but it didn't go even streaming platinum until summer. But that's because it was more about Bad and Bougie and T-shirt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
And then frankly, you like both Offset and Quavo, especially, like they were everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't look at a new playlist on Tidal or Apple Music or Spotify and not see a new song that features them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to a point where, I mean, it's funny, like I went back and listened to Future's two albums from earlier 2017. And, you know, like Future was, and for some people still is, but like Future was the default, like I need Future on this record.
Yeah.
I think now you're getting Quavo or Offset, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So it was weird, like to have a group where like they had hit singles, but like wasn't even so much about their hit singles as it was other hit singles or side projects, or they were just always around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an interesting, yeah. Like, it's just interesting, like to have an artist or a group that like so dominated a year culturally and even music output wise, but it wasn't really so much about their big album.
No, it's just where we are right now.
Right. Right.
What's like you can be relevant because sometimes it's about being relevant for the day. And with some people, if I look at somebody like if I'm looking at Instagram and I'm looking at It's Biscuit or World Star or DJ Academics, they're posting things that these artists are doing every day. So it's like, you know, I don't put a song out, but I go to the mall and spend $10,000 on the chain, or I do something completely stupid. You know, I'm on IG Live snorting lines of cocaine, whatever people are doing to remain relevant. And then people, I think we talked about this with when Hotline Bling came out, where you said Drake danced that way because he knew that he was going to get the attention that he got, where Drake will purposefully do things where he knows people are going to make memes out of him, people are going to make fun of him, but it keeps him in the conversation. Mm. And if the music is good enough, you're the joke, but people are just kind of, you know, like, it's not get out of here, you're trash. It's like, yeah, look at Drake. That's funny. So much so that he learned how to use that to his advantage. And I think a lot of these new artists, which you said earlier, we talked about adapting, they saw that and they said, okay, this is what we have to do. We just have to do something to stay, because people are on their phones all day. So you may not even be at work. You may not even have a job where you can put headphones on, but maybe you can just, you're just scrolling through your Instagram and you're seeing people. You're seeing artists every day. You're seeing tweets every day. You're seeing Snapchats every day. And you're just constantly in their face. Because if you're not around if you take a month break, a 2 month break, they'll forget about you. Somebody said, I think I was listening to Joe Budden talk about everyday struggle. And he was like, he equated everyday struggle to putting out a hit record every day. And I understood what he was talking about. It's just being the focal point of the conversation every day. And this is something that I said was an earmark of 2017. It wasn't about the music as much as it was about news about music artists, news about musicians. So I don't even have a top 10, but there's a bunch of things that musicians did this year that made them memorable or that were earmarks of the year. And that's just what it's become, where the music has transitioned into, it's something that you sell, but it's not the selling point.
Yeah, just, I mean, like, different. Like Nicki Minaj put out 3 records in February.
Yeah.
No album.
Yeah.
But, you know, her and Remy Ma was one of the moments of the year, right?
Yeah, that was this year. Yep.
People forgot about it.
Yep. People were ready to throw Nicki all the way out, and she was, you know, Remy was the new queen of rap. And this is all pre-Cardi, right?
I was going to say, now Cardi's just, it's Cardi.
Listen, all I got to say is this. By the time this show comes out, the song will be out. I think Cardi can rap. She better not have messed up Finesse.
What song is it?
She got on the remix to Finesse, Bruno Mars.
Oh. Mm.
Right.
She can rap. Sometimes she's, yeah. I'm really like incredibly hot cold with her.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like, you know, surprisingly, like she can rap on Motorsport, right? But like other songs, it's like her new record, Bardi Accardi, it's like,
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
How many things can rhyme with Cardi?
A lot.
Yeah.
So,
Cardi.
Yeah.
Cardi.
But Cardi. people love her.
Yeah.
She's the people's champ.
She is the people's champ. She is the people's champ. So I'm curious to know if they're going to do her the same way that they did Nicki, because they loved Nicki like this a few years ago.
Nicki has 50 Cent disease.
Which is?
She's judging her worth in hip hop by sales and by stature.
Yeah, that was a really trash move.
It might work at first, but it never ends well. There's always a downfall.
Yeah.
Even if you get back up, there is always, like, no one is always at a certain level, right? Cuz so Jay used to talk about how many albums he sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't talk about that much anymore, right?
Yeah.
He talks about all this other stuff and it's bragging, but like you can't, yeah, if your answer to people as to why they should pay attention to you is to how successful you are.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it ends well.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like a year ago, right? It was, it was Nicki and Meek.
Yeah.
You know, but hip hop's a reality show, right? So now we're on to Cardi and Offset.
Yep. That's where we are, man. It is what it is.
Anything else you want to talk about before we start talking about actual projects from this past year?
Speaking of Migos, did you hear the record they got with Pharrell?
Stir Fry?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's a strong word.
I like it. I like it a lot. It's a little faster tempo for them.
Yeah.
There's some dope Pharrell synthery going on.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
You know what's really interesting is when producers take them out of their element, they usually rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about Stir Fry, but I love the record they did with Alchemist last year.
Mm.
It was them, Alchemist, and Mac Miller. That record was dope. And it's an Alchemist beat. It was slower. It was more their tempo.
Right.
But it was like a hard, like gritty Mobb Deep beat.
Right.
And they
did that
thing. So I would like to see that more from them is, you know, them linking up with other artists who aren't their typical cup of tea and sort of adding the Migos flavor to, you know, something different. So I don't know how I feel about Stir Fry. When I heard it, I didn't hate it. So, but I'm not sure how I feel about it yet.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.